Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we just have been working through a series called WWJS, What Would Jesus Say? And we're looking at some of the follow me statements. And if you were listening to last week's program, the title was Costly or Casual Commitment. Costly or Casual Commitment. And we looked at briefly the passage in Luke chapter 10, 17 through 31. We're going to come back. I would say this is like part two. And we just recently celebrated the Reformation, or All Hallows Eve. And on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, a Catholic priest, nailed 95 theses or propositions, ideas, and questions on the door of the Wittenberg Castle. And Luther never really wanted to start a new church. He wanted to reform the church that he was in. He was part of the Catholic Church. And one of Luther's 95 theses simply declares, this is a quote from Luther, "The church's true treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ." Let me say that again. The church's true treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That alone is the meaning of the Reformation. And I pray as we work through these passages and we look at what it says to follow me, that we will know that our lives, our hearts, our homes, our schools, and our places of work will be reformed by the true treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the Reformation, there were five solas. Sola is a Latin word for alone. Sola scriptura, scripture alone. The Bible alone is our highest authority. Sola fidea, faith alone. We are saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Sola gratia, grace alone. We are saved by the grace of God alone. Solus Christus, Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone is our Lord, Savior, and King, and sola Dei Gloria, to the glory of God alone. We live for the glory of God. Do you know that the Barna Group recently put out their report called The State of the Bible in 2019? And its subtitle is Trends in Engagement. And about the same time, the Pew Survey of Christianity in America published their report. And after reading their reports, it might be a time for us as a church and people as Christians to start another Reformation. I don't want to bore you with all the numbers or the statistics, but according to the Pew Research, the data suggests that people who describe themselves as Christians has gone down from 77% in 2009 to 65% in 2019. That is a 12% drop in 10 years. Barna reports some fascinating insights about how often people read their Bibles and if they feel that the Bible helps them. An interesting figure is that 48% of the Christian population is disengaged from the Bible. Roughly 2 in 5 adults, 42%, say the Bible has not had any impact on their life. 2 in 5. 2 of 5 people, if you ask, probably 2 of 5 people, you went out on your coworkers or your school or wherever you're at and asked 5 people, 2 of the 5 people would say, well, the Bible's had no impact on me. I wonder what Martin Luther and the Reformers would have said to our culture today. Listen to the quote from Luther when he was asked to recant. He says, "I cannot and will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand, I can do no other. So help me God." Think of what God is asking you to reform in your life. We're in the sixth week of this Follow Me series. And the question that I ask you is, where is Jesus asking you to follow? Where is Jesus asking you to follow? Where is Jesus asking you to deny yourself and pick up your cross? Where is Jesus asking you to follow in your family, in your work, in your relationship, your health, or your finances? What is Jesus asking you as you follow him in your position or your power or your passion or your possessions? Where is Jesus asking you to follow him and totally trust him as you follow? Well, good thing there aren't any castles around here. Maybe he would ask you to post some ideas on your church's door. In 1986, I made a grace weekend called Curcio, and my pastor sponsored me and drove me 4 hours to Epworth Forest in Indiana. I'd been a voluntary youth director for 4 years, and I thought I was following Jesus. But on this weekend, I heard the song, Here I Am, and it's written by John Michael Talbot. I mentioned this in last week's message, and it changed my life. John Michael Talbot's song says, Here I am. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in darkened sin, my hand will save. I have made the stars of night. I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? And the chorus is, Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me, if you hold your people in my heart. I remember raising my hand during that song. Little did I know that Jesus was calling me to follow him. I thought I was. I suppose what I was trying to say one day, following Jesus looked like serving him a few hours on Sunday. And now it looks like follow me is 24 hours a day. Today we're going to come back to Mark chapter 10, 17 through 31. And set that stage again. Jesus has, people have been bringing little children to Jesus, and the disciples try to stop him. And Peter, who's impetuous, bold, no filter Peter, I think Peter's the one who says, you know, tries to stop him. And Jesus says in verses 14 and 16, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus sets out a powerful example of how we are to come to him. Come to him as a child. Now think about this as we study today our passage. Before we go to God's word, let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you today as little children. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to your living words of eternal life. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10, 17 through 31. Now remember, the little children were coming to him, and he stops the disciples from stopping them, and he says, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. And then the next story begins. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Verse 20. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Verse 21 is where we're going to probably camp for this time. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Boy, just stop for a moment and think of Jesus looking at you. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, Jesus said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. There it is. That's a powerful statement. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Many scholars believe that this is one of the saddest passages in the Bible. Jesus has told those who were following him that if they wanted to come to him, they should come as little children. I remember when my children were little, and I remember when my grandchildren were really little. I would love to have them on my lap and talk to them and whisper in their ear. I would whisper, "Papa loves you," to my grandchildren. "Papa loves you." I wanted each one of my 12 grandchildren to remember that their papa loved them unconditionally and forever. Now my lovely wife would tell you that I was trying to brainwash them so that they would love me more than her. That's not really true, but I would always want them to love me, but I wanted them to know how much I love them. Can you imagine crawling up on Jesus's lap and having him tell you how much he loves you and will never let you go? There's a good first so what for today. God wants you to know that he loves you. This is the stage for the story. Jesus is walking down the road and a man runs up to him and throws himself down at Jesus' feet and cries out, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Can you enter into the picture? Here's this very wealthy young man on his face, on his knees, crying out, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Just a side note, this is the only time in the entire Gospel of Mark that the words eternal life appear. And it appears in verse 17 and also in verse 30. Have you ever thought about eternal life as more than a quality of your life? Or a quantity of your life? Have you ever thought that eternal life is more than a quantity, how many years, how many days, how many hours you're going to live? But it's the quality of your life? Albert Schweitzer, he does not rank among the world's greatest men or among the greatest fools. We're going to talk about Albert Schweitzer, but I just want to say that this is Pastor Dave, and this is the Seed of Faith, and we're talking about costly or casual commitment. Albert Schweitzer does not rank among the world's greatest men or among its greatest fools. He has appeared on lists of both kinds. Why? His talents put him on both lists. He was a chief academic officer of one of Europe's most elite schools. He was a world-famous musician. His pen produced many books and papers. His church regarded him as one of the most elegant preachers and most insightful New Testament scholars. What did he choose to do with all those gifts? He enrolled in medical school and became a doctor, and after graduating, he packed his medical supplies and left for the Congo in Africa. There he began operating in a hen house. Yes, something for God. He gave up the ease of being talented and famous in Europe in order to bring healing to the earth's poorest people. This kind of humble service reverses all the world's values. Long after his death, Albert Schweitzer lives on as an example of one who counted the cost and took up his cross. His academic and artistic peers regarded him as a fool. Jesus continues to call his people to forget earthly rewards and honors, to reach out to the poor, the lame, and the blind. So what? What have you given up in the name and service of Christ? In what specific ways can you say that you have taken up your cross with Christ and are marching resolutely following him? I find it interesting that the rich young ruler calls Jesus good. I'm sure that he had heard that Jesus healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, and cast out demons. And one thing we must know about their culture, you didn't call anyone good because the title good was given to God alone. Now, while I was pastoring in Texas, I had a man report to the elder board that I was hypnotizing people to follow Jesus. Now, I'm serious. The man was mad that I was hypnotizing people to follow Jesus. Well, I wasn't hypnotizing anyone. But as I discerned my call to leave Texas and return back to California, I had a dear friend here in California, and I was sharing this story about the hypnotism powers, and this person said, "Well, Pastor Dave, you're good, but you're not that good." And I thought, you know, that's what Jesus is saying. Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. In the Jewish culture, no one is good but God. And Jesus tells this rich young man to keep all the commandments. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't covet, don't, you know, just don't do all those things and honor your father and mother. The rich man says that he's kept all the commandments since he was a boy. The rich young man had kept the last six commandments. The problem was the costly commitment of following Jesus meant putting the first four commandments first. The world and his wealth had stopped the wealthy man. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." We are told that Jesus looked at him with a look of love, a love that was unconditional, unrestricted, unreserved, full of compassion and kindness. Jesus told him he was lacking one thing. What was the one thing? Maybe, just maybe, we should ask ourselves that today. What is the one thing I lack? Better yet, what is the one thing you lack? A missionary poet and mystic, Amy Carmichael, wrote a book called Things As They Are. One day, Amy sat with a Hindu queen in her palace as the queen revealed her spiritual hunger. This Hindu queen is very much like the rich young ruler here in Mark. Carmichael shared that as the conversation developed, the queen kept pushing Miss Carmichael regarding what was necessary for salvation. And Amy attempted to deflect her, saying she should wait. But she was determined to hear it then, and as she insisted, Amy read her a little of what Jesus says about himself. She knew quite enough to understand and take in the force of the forceful words. The queen would not consent to be led gently on. This is what the queen said. These are her words. "No, I must not go that far," she said. "So far must I follow? So far?" she said. "I cannot follow so far." So far must I follow Jesus? Maybe that's the question. I don't know where Jesus is asking you to follow. But maybe you're like the queen. "I cannot follow so far." I'm not sure what the rich young man said to Jesus, or if he said anything at all. All we are told is that the rich young man looked sad. It's interesting that the word that Mark uses to describe the sadness of the rich young man, it's the sadness of the sky becoming overcast with an anticipation of a storm. The rich young man walked away from following Jesus. Jesus then tells his followers that it's almost impossible for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God. He says it's like a camel trying to go through the eye of a needle. I was told by a couple who had been to Jerusalem that gates in the city have a very tiny opening for someone to slip in through the gates after they're closed and locked at night. Their guide said that it was small enough for a person to slip through, but not a camel. Imagine this tiny space. It was available for the rich young ruler to slip through, but it was not big enough for him to bring all of his worldly possessions through with him. Decision time. Do you slip in alone, or do you take the things of this world and which matter more to you than Jesus? The truth, Jesus is not saying that money or wealth is a problem. Let me say that to you. Jesus is not saying that money or wealth is a problem. It's the love of money and the dependence on money that's a problem. What Jesus is really teaching here is this. What do you depend on? What do you depend on? What do you trust in? Is following Jesus enough for you? If you had to, could you leave everything you now own and slip through the eye of a needle in order to follow Jesus? There's a so what question. On December 17, 1912, Bill Borden boarded a ship for China via Egypt. His missionary career would be among history's briefest and most effective. Borden was born to an upper-class family on Chicago's Gold Coast, heir of a fortune in real estate and milk production. His mother became a Christian, and young Bill began attending Chicago's Moody Church, with her soon becoming a Christian herself. Shortly afterward, when Pastor R.A. Torrey challenged worshipers to to dedicate their lives to God's service. Young William quietly stood up, a little fellow in his blue sailor suit. He stood a long time while the service went on, but there was no wavering, and it was a consecration from what he was never to be retreated from. Later at Yale University, Bill became well known as a star athlete, good-looking, worth $50 million, and committed to Christ. This is in 1914 or so. At a student mission conference in Nashville, he was deeply moved by a pastor who wanted to reach the Muslims, and following graduation, he announced he was giving his immense inheritance to the cause of world mission. He joined the China Inland Mission, planning to evangelize the Muslims in China. But first came language study in Egypt, and on the eve of his departure, his widowed mother wondered if Bill had done the right thing, giving up his fortune in his homeland. In the quiet of my room that night, worn and weary and sad, I fell asleep, asking myself again and again, is it, after all, worthwhile? In the morning as I awoke, a still small voice was speaking in my heart, answering, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Those are Bill Borden's words written in his journal. A month after arriving in Egypt, Borden contracted spinal meningitis. He was dead in 2 weeks. But he left a final message on a paper stuffed under his pillow. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. So what? What is Jesus saying to you when he says to you, follow me? What will be your answer? The Hindu queen, her answer was, so far must I follow? I cannot follow. Bill Borden gave up $50 million to world missions. 6 weeks in Egypt, and Bill Borden was dead. No reserves, no retreat, no regrets. Albert Schweitzer wrote, I want to do something for God. In 1992, I was so heavy and convicted to go into ordained ministry, I started looking for seminaries to attend. I wanted to keep my day job and go to the night school. Only back then, it was just a dream on the horizon. In January of 93, I received a call from Dr. Dean Hilly, at the seminary that doesn't give scholarships, that decided to offer me a full scholarship. My wife and I prayed about it. We ended up taking a blank piece of typing paper and writing upon it, Dear God, at the top. And at the bottom, we signed it, In Christ's Love and Service, Dave and Jacqueline Peters. We had no idea where our follow me would lead us, but we decided that we would trust God to fill in the pages of our tomorrows. I'm happy to report he's never left us, nor has he ever forsaken us. The rich young ruler did an about face. And he took off. His call was too much for him. What about you? Every single day, there's a call upon your life to follow Jesus. For each one of us, the call to follow Jesus looks different. My prayer is that you'll listen and hear the call, and Jesus extends to you, follow me, help me as I follow. Sounds easy, but it's complicated. Let us pray. Lord God, we just give thanks for this day. And help us to learn to follow you. Give us guidance and direction as we hold on to you today, tomorrow, and eternally. In Jesus' name, amen. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Listen, God loves you. He loves you unconditionally, and he's calling you to follow Jesus. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.